Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And as ever, we're joined by the vegan. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Golding. You right?
Yeah, good.
Matthew, you guys right?
Good, thank you, mate. Yeah.
Sound.
How's your foot? Yeah.
Sore, but okay.
Yeah. You picked
I have a bruised foot for those who won.
You picked up a footballing injury. I picked up a hamstring injury at a park run on the weekend. So we're both out of action.
Juicy slide tackle. And I got, as I blocked a shot, I got stood on full force by somebody, which has left my foot in a bit of bad bruising. But I'm still running on it, albeit a little bit slower. And I'm probably still going to play football on Friday because I'm stupid.
Well, now through the wonders of video web, you can show us the pictures.
Yeah, you can
hold
the picture.
Do I really want to show people pictures? I need to be careful what pictures I'm putting up here. Hold on a second.
don't want to get us kicked off YouTube this soon. He's finding those, Chris, what's happened? Your injury.
Yeah, went for a park run in Shrewsbury last week. About 4K into it, felt a bit of tightness in my hamstring. Thought, right, I'll finish the 5K. I won't overdo it and try and do the 7K that I was down to do. And when I finished, it was just like, yeah, this is bad. So the training plan this week is rest. Rest, rest, rest. And then hopefully back to it for next week for the final.
I haven't seen it. Was there a painful Golding face on the chart? Or like a sore foot or something?
No, do you know what? I think I was probably... I actually enjoyed it. I got a personal best and I actually felt good for most of it. It was only really afterwards that it started hurting. But
personal best injury.
You're as bad as me. You should really just like not carry on. You should have just probably... If you felt me, you probably should have just stopped.
It just felt a bit tight though, that was all. But no, it'll be all right. Right, have you got that picture?
Yeah, it's hard to see on here, but yeah, the bruise across the side of my foot, and skin taken off in a few places, which you can't see from the studs of the other chap. But I was the same when he stood on me, and he knew straight away. So you were right. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I jumped up and ran, went to chase after the ball, and like I didn't really go anywhere. And then I was like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then after a couple of minutes, I was just like, no, I'm fucked. And I was on the floor, crouching down, and just like,
done.
This is quite sore, but I did carry on playing. And then it was only afterwards when I realised I got home, my foot was like swollen and like very red at that point. So I had, iced it with a bag of diced onions.
I
all through the night.
I use the bag of frozen peppers normally. That's quite a good one.
It would have been that one, but because the diced peppers were so small, I could sort of manipulate it around my foot. Then I tied it up with a t-shirt and left it on there.
Please,
and in the morning, all I could smell was just like this faint smell of just onion in the bedroom. And I wondered why I was the only person in there when I woke up.
Okay, so for
there we go.
For next week, please send us your 15-second views on what frozen fruit or veg you use to bring down swelling. I'm carrying no injuries. No, I'm carrying no physical injuries. So,
You only swim and eat greens, don't you? So, Chewy, so you showed more fight in your football match than the Blues showed at Rotherham, essentially.
Do you believe that, though?
I do.
Obviously, you haven't watched the cam view back from the game on Friday night that we get sent every Saturday morning. But I mean, you could be right.
I do believe it. I think that there was a lack of wanting to win, a lack of desire to win, and I actually think afterwards we were probably too happy with the point. And going to bottom place Rotherham, it's not going to be an easy place to go. We didn't show enough. I don't think we created enough chances. I don't think we created enough openings. I think the selection to begin with was just mind-blowing. I don't understand how Ollie Burke walks back into the side after being away, but out injured for so long, all of a sudden he's back in. I just don't get it. Like, that to me, I get why. I mean, that was physicality, height,
yeah,
pace,
the physical side of it. Yeah,
but no, not for me.
I get that part, but I don't. It made absolutely zero sense in terms of just like he's not played a game for months. We don't know how fit he is. I mean, by the sound of it, he was potentially going to be bringing him off at some point in the second half anyway. But yeah, he wasn't very good. He made no difference to the side at all.
I disagree. He did make a difference. He made us more ineffective because we had opportunities.
He didn't make a positive difference.
We were attacking with the ball, and there was a chance where Tyler Roberts could have fed him in, and he was wide open, and Tyler Roberts went, no, I'm not going to give you the ball. I'm going to go this way. I think he had a shot, and it was saved for a corner. And I don't blame him. These guys have played with him. And so it does. You might as well be playing with 10 men at these times. Yeah, Gary Rowett likes him from his time at Millwall, when even Millwall fans said, yeah, he was a bit shit, to be honest with you. Why does he keep getting played? He obviously has something that Gary Rowett likes. Didn't work. Absolutely backfired.
Based on that, it could very much be like, I've already said this already because we thought he didn't think he was coming back anyway, but I think that might be the last we'll potentially seen of him. I don't know. What I will say, just to go back on something that you were saying a minute ago, I don't know if there was a lack of desire as such, but maybe more of a lack of urgency and a lack of quality. So we were getting into the final third fairly frequently, but they just seemed to lack ideas. We had chances, not very many. Tyler Roberts' chance in the first half when he probably should have done better. The Miyoshi shot where he definitely should have done better. The goal or ruled out goal was unfortunate.
Frustrating, but if I mean, you were there and didn't see frustrating. Buchanan's run.
Obviously, when you're watching on the TV, you see that, and it felt like when it happened, I'm like, right, oh, they've given it. And then obviously the flag went up really, really late as well.
They were celebrating in the corner. Really? And I looked down, and I've seen the linesman as they're celebrating, and then I've seen him go, offside. And it's like,
what's the thing? It's taking you so fucking long. Either, like, yeah. I know a lot of people said, oh, we went there to play for a 0-0. I don't think we did. I think, like, obviously, Grout is always going to make sure we're fairly solid at the back, but I don't think we went there to set up and come away with a 0-0. We just lacked a lot of quality in that final third. And I think what we probably, and I mentioned it last week, the thing that I was concerned about was that Steve Evans effect. And I think we probably got a Rotherham that was maybe 25-30% energy levels and wanting to impress their managers more than previous games. Sorry, not that in that game, because that would have been something. We probably would have come away with a win then. But just trying to, their crowd were behind it as well. Mr. fucking angry Ribena man in his sombrero. You know, that was, I think that got, just him being there, it obviously gave the players a bit of a lift. And I think we can't underestimate that as well. We've been unfortunate the two times we've played them, and we haven't been very good in either of those games, that we came up against a Rotherham side that was just about to change their manager when we were at home. And the second time, just Steve Evans has just come in. And despite what we think of him, he's probably gone in there and give them a bit of a lift. And that's made that game more difficult than it probably should have been. That's why I said last week we could probably grind out a 1-0 win and I'd be happy with it. And we nearly did, but it was always going to be a very similar game to that, in my opinion.
I am going to mention,
it's just still doesn't make it any less frustrating.
No, it's very frustrating. I am going to mention on that point, actually, about the Steve Evans effect, that Sid Barraclough, the Rotherham fan who had a cardiac arrest, I thought the emergency services were great, the police were great, helping get him down from the stands. I thought both sets of fans were great, apart from one idiot who decided that I think he went down to the front and started filming it. That should probably be a corner, but I think a few people called him out for it, so that was sorted. And that break in play could have been blamed for our performance. I'm glad it wasn't, because if anything, I think it affected Rotherham more than us. I think before that stop in play, they looked a bit more dangerous. I thought they looked better. I know it was like 10, 11 minutes in. It wasn't very long into the game. But I think that stopped a bit of their forward momentum for the game. So I'm glad that we didn't use it, because I actually thought we looked worse before.
I mean, I think we had the first real chance of that half, those few minutes, which was the Tyler Roberts, which he definitely should have done better. But it's annoying. I wanted 4 points in these two games, and I still think we can get 4 points from those two games. I think I know after the Sheffield Wednesday result, everybody now has just shit the bed again, which, you know, I get to a certain point, but, you know, for some reason I think we'll go and beat Huddersfield, and we'll talk about that later on, but I don't know why I feel like that. I just do, and I think we've got a good chance of doing it against Norwich, beating Norwich as well. They'll probably already be safe for the playoffs then, and we'll be at home, full house. Their away form is actually like the bottom third in the league as well, so I don't know if many people realise that, which is for a team that are in the playoffs actually quite surprising. I still think we're going to be okay. People might think I'm mental. I don't know what. I'm quite relaxed about it. I might change my mind on Saturday come 5 o'clock. I don't. But there's something that just inside me, it tells me we're just probably going to be okay. And I think you've still got Blackburn, Plymouth, maybe even QPR based on who they've got to play.
But we've got to catch them.
And that's not forgetting Sheffield Wednesday.
We've got to catch
them. We have. But then you look at the games that they've got. I think QPR have got Coventry and Leeds, maybe.
But look at Sheffield Wednesday. So Sheffield Wednesday going to Blackburn, and the way that they performed, the energy that they had, we didn't show any of that for me against Rotherham. It was on different levels, and we knew our situation before. We knew that it would help us out because of that stoppage. I'm just going to say, What we'll do now, we'll get some 15-second opinions, because no doubt people will be talking about Rotherham. And I do just want to say all the best to Sid Barraclough, and get well soon. I hope that he makes a full recovery. Yep. I know he won't be listening.
Get well soon, Sid.
But I'd like to just put it out there. So let's get some 15-second opinions.
15-second opinion.
Hi, lads. Love the podcast. Blue Nose that lives abroad here in Bangkok. I just thought the game against Rotherham, I could not believe I saw Ollie Burke's name, not only in the squad, but on the starting 11 team sheet. It has made me wonder, is he the worst that we've ever had on loan? I can't believe that a player that's moved for so much money and has been at various different clubs at a fairly high level is so awful. I'm also not one to sort of pick at players and sort of say they're not trying, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. Even when Harley Dean and people were on his back, I really didn't agree with some of that stuff. But the guy is absolutely dire, and it really does look like the effort and just the lack of quality is just absolutely insane. I remember us having Bjorn Otto Bragstad quite a while back now, and he was, centre-back, absolutely awful. I think Burke is worse.
Hi guys, Chris O'Brien here again. Firstly, I'd like to say my best wishes to the Rotherham fan that was in the ground on Saturday. I hope Sid is all well. Secondly, why did Gary Rabbit change the team straight away at 2 p.m? We all looked at each other in the pub and went, why is Ollie Burke starting? Straight away, the atmosphere was a bit down because of it, you know. So come on, Gary Rabbit, just go with the team, go with the momentum and all the tempo and intensity we had against Coventry. Stick with that, or maybe just put Dembele in as well, a bit more attacking. But right, that's the quickest ever 15 seconds, and it's about 35 seconds. Up the Blues, keep right on. Biggest game in a decade, up the Blues, ta-ra.
Hi, lads. Bit nervous about recording this one. I'm not 100% sure why, but I am, so bear with me a little bit. So I'm a former gold ticket member, and I'm also a member of an official supporters club, and I'm really not happy with the whole situation, how it's going about. I raised it months ago originally that there needs to be clarity from the club as to exactly what they plan to do with tickets, and unfortunately that has not been forthcoming. It hasn't been for me as a member of an official supporters club, and it hasn't been for people who may not have been enamoured with the idea of official supporters clubs in the first place. What they should have said is, right, this is what we're going to do. It's from September, we're going to offer tickets for OSC branches that are local to a particular away game. First game of the season, say it's Swansea, Welsh official supporters club. They get a bunch of tickets, 20, 30 tickets. Everyone could kind of cope with that. It's palatable. But to do it at this time with two massive away games, I mean, I don't know about Rotherham, but I know there were Huddersfield tickets in circulation. But to do it with two away games is, frankly, disastrous, because people are desperate to go to those games and people have travelled a long way and spent a lot of money and a lot of time to get there. Now, people are saying it's from corporate tickets. It may well be, but I also have heard that people in corporate were struggling to get tickets as well. So, again, it's a lack of clarity. And where there's a lack of clarity and a lack of information, it leaves a void. And that void is filled by rumour and gossip. And that needed cutting out, because I don't want to feel guilty by association for being part of an official supporters club. I think it's a really important thing. I think it's a really good thing. And I've met some great people already. And I want to continue to do that. But I won't if it feels underhanded. And I just want to add, because it's really important, that this isn't down to people who signed up for official supporters clubs. It isn't their fault. You know, they were just given an opportunity. And they were as excited about it as anybody would have been if somebody turned to you in the street and said, I've got a spare ticket, do you fancy it? You know, some people didn't think they would get a chance. And they did get a chance. It's not their fault. What the problem is that Blues weren't honest, in my opinion.
Right, another pretty inept performance at Rotherham, but it's 0-0, and I would be massively surprised if all those teams down there win two games. We win one, I reckon we're sound.
All right, lads, bit of a negative one. I just think we're done, but I'm fine with it. There's no positives, it's pretty shit, but I think we'll bounce back really, really quickly and probably have a good season next year. It just slows the project down rather than derails it. The reason I think we're done is we're just an abject disgrace away from home, and I just don't think we've got the stones or the bottle to go to Huddersfield in what may be a bit of an intimidating atmosphere with a full house where they have to win. I just don't think we'll go there and get the result we need. I think West Brom will fold like a deck chair against Sheffield Wednesday, I just don't think then we'll get the wins we need to overtake the others that we can catch. Norwich will probably be a bit of a sort of glorious failure day where we win but we go down, and there's a funny atmosphere, but look, I'm fine with it. It's a speed bump. It's a speed bump on the way to everlasting glory, and long term we're going to smash it, so keep right on. I am really looking forward to my first away game of the season at Huddersfield on Saturday. Big thanks to the lads at South Yorkshire OSC for sorting me out with a ticket. Hope everyone has a great day.
That was a bit cheeky, isn't it?
Really is a bit of everything there, isn't there?
Yeah, so first up, someone agreeing with you that we're going to get out of it. People agreeing with me that...
Although I think we'll get more than... I think we need more than three points to win.
Someone who sounds like they're thinking we're going to enter heaven or something, sort of ever bow, ever glory or something.
That's essentially where we're going, Dave. We are going to heaven.
That's okay then.
But it's a speed bump.
You're
it's
not.
A speed bump. And can I just say, I'm definitely not going to heaven. is that our first 15-second opinion from Bangkok as well? Yeah. Remember this? That's all that entered my head when he said Bangkok. Mike Tyson? No? No? Alright.
Yeah.
Sorry, I lined that up perfectly. I think official supporters clubs are where we should go next. You're in one.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, are you in one, Chris?
So, no, because I don't see myself as...
Oh, there's a butt coming here, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I don't see myself as... I don't want to go and sit down and have a beer with people in Sully Hall just because they're from the same area as me. For me, like, I've got... So, through We Are Birmingham, we've got the We Are Birmingham supporters team, we've got We Are Birmingham podcast, we've got the We Are Birmingham website, and that had forums and stuff. That has introduced me to a lot of people in terms of going to games, meeting people, chatting to people. For me, my supporters club is We Are Birmingham. They're people that I connect with on a level that we understand each other, we feel the same ways, think the same way. If I'm gonna go for a beer,
not sure about that.
Well, no, yeah. Not always think the same way, but you know, there's an understanding. If we've done away games where we've put coaches on, and all sorts of different people come, but we have a laugh and whatever else. But the for me, my supporters club is that. I don't want to go and sit with Colin at the, I don't know, Saracen's Head in Shirley to have a beer, to just say, oh yeah, we're local, so let's do it. Now, I understand people...
No offence, Colin.
Colin was made up, but if Colin is a real person, I apologise, Colin, I'm not picking on you.
From Solihull, Colin from Solihull, we apologise.
But
I think I think also what we can take from this is that Chris has got enough friends, so stay away.
So
some people are lucky like that, aren't they?
Yeah. If I want to go and sit down and have a chat and talk blues with people, I've got people that I'll do that with, and people will have friendship groups. So for me, like, I think great if you're in Northampton and you want to have the Northampton supporters group, or if you're in Northern Ireland and you have the Northern Ireland supporters group, or you're in Texas and you have the Texas supporters group, and you go and meet up and watch games.
We call it Ulster.
Okay.
Ulster.
Of course you've Ulster. Why have you got to be pernickety?
We get it. But you don't care.
He's got enough friends. But stay away from Chris at games.
He'll approach you if he wants to have a beer with you, okay? Just stand
I'm very approachable. I'm very approachable and always happy to chat. So
just
and say,
try and get him to join a club.
Yes, I don't, just, yeah, I don't
he
want
just doesn't want to join your club.
So I have today put in an application for We Are Birmingham to be an official supporters group. Club. Official supporters club group.
Am I allowed to be in two?
I don't know. Not? I think you might be able to. But it'll probably be thrown straight in the bin because it'll probably be rejected as it's not a location-based club. For me, supporting the Blues and the group that I connect with isn't about where people are. So We Are Birmingham, we've got players in Redditch, we've got players in Sully Hall, we've got players in Hall Green, we've got players in Tamworth, we've got players in Uttoxeter. They would be people, and you guys as well, that I would talk about Blues with, that I connect with. So you would be my group. If I was putting a group together, you would be the ones. Now, I understand when people are exiled and stuff, that it's nice to have those groups. For me, it's not something that interests me. I think the plan is brilliant. Now, if we can have a We Are Birmingham one, then obviously I'll join it, or I'll create it. I'll invite people to join it, and I'll hopefully be a part of things. And I want We Are Birmingham to be a part of things. But that's the only way, really, that I want to get involved. That's my personal preference. But I know other people who are the same. Someone came up to me, two people came up to me on Saturday and said, I'd join a We Are Birmingham one if you did one. A listener to the podcast said, I don't want to join one, but I will join if you set a We Are Birmingham one up. That wasn't prompted by me. That was prompted by them. So, yeah, why not? We'll try and do it. Like I say, it'll probably be thrown in the bin. And if it is, fair enough. I can't see myself in any others. I don't disrespect anyone for doing it. That's my point of view. And that's, like, I don't see the point for me personally. But I think it's a great initiative for the club and a great way of people connecting and being part of the club. And I do think it's brilliant, but it's not for me. The side of the tickets now that we mentioned last week, people getting free tickets, or not, maybe not free tickets, but tickets that weren't, it was mentioned in there as well, people that were getting tickets when it wasn't their status, so they might not even be season ticket holders, and because they're a member of a supporters club, they got tickets. It needs to be worked in such a way. Now, for me, it shouldn't have even come in this season, because it wasn't there at the start of the season, so it shouldn't come in midway through the season, first and foremost. Tail end of the season, when away tickets are selling like hotcakes, is probably a really bad time to put things in. Then there's the, generally, where does an official supporters club rank? Now, for me, you'd go, I'd have three colour groups of away travel: gold, silver, bronze. I nearly forgot colours orders then. Gold, silver, bronze. And then I'd have official supporters club, season ticket holders. Then season ticket holders. Then official supporters club. Or the other way around. But a way that prioritises people based on saying, okay, you're a season ticket holder and an official supporters club, you get that priority. Then supporters club, and then season ticket holders, because you can jump that queue if you join. Then general sale.
It would be interesting for the club to have a little bit of transfer. I totally agree with what you're saying, and I think this was the right time of year to start it. It should have been started within the new season. It seems very bizarre to start it so late on, as you say, when tickets are in high demand.
I think it goes back. It'd be interesting QPR. To see. I think there was some at QPR that
is I that think, how far back so. It goes. And okay, even still, that's only what, yeah, four or five games ago. Their process in how they dish these out, because I think the understanding originally was if it's a local supporters group, then they were going to try and do something that way. Now, it'd also be interesting to find out how many of these tickets there are and where they're being pulled from as well. So, obviously, we get given an allocation, and that allocation goes to a normal process, platinum, gold, silver, etc. But the club always holds some back for club members, club employees, and I think for charity, if I'm correct, so are they taking those tickets from the pool that they were taking them from anyway, or are they taking them out of the allowance that would have been going to platinum, gold, silver, etc.? Some clarity around that would be nice. The club are going to have to give a statement or give some form of response to it, because it's causing so much hysteria online, and you've seen the messages and screenshots and stuff going around today. And I think poor Dell seems to be getting a little bit stressed out, might be getting a little bit stressed out by some of this as well. So I think someone needs to come forward and say something, or there needs to be a statement, and they need to give some clarity around the actual process of how they do this.
I mean, it's by the by now, because Huddersfield sold out. So it's essentially going forward for next season. I'd like some transparency for what has happened, for where tickets have gone, because I don't think there's been an awful lot of tickets that have gone to the supporters clubs. I think that they've probably gone the commercial route, the corporate route.
It's probably been blown up a lot more than actually, I think, you know, it's kind of like anything, isn't it? Like, if you focus on something, it makes it seem a lot bigger. It might actually be that it's 20 tickets or something like that. You know, it might not even be that high, you know. But I think it's probably, there needs to be some communication around how they're doing it and how they intend to do it going forward, just so people can chill the fuck out. And, you know, I get why people are upset, and I would be too. There was always going to be I think there was. I think we spoke about this when it was first announced.
The discussions that we had, I think
we were concerned that there'd be something that there'd be a little bit of a ruckus caused, and that people would be disgruntled by it, etc.
Well, let's hope that it's just teething problems associated with bringing it in midway through a season, and
Are emotional at the moment as well. People are emotional at the moment because of the league position, and you know, people are worried and concerned, and I think that actually brings out more hysteria and more emotion on top of that, because you're already like feeling like uptight about Blues in general.
Because of the situation that we're in, last game of the season, last away game of the season, people want to go. People want to go and try and help us get over the line. And they haven't been able to get tickets. It didn't even go to silver members. I've heard of people that were gold members that didn't manage to get a ticket. Which isn't right. That doesn't sit right with me. There needs to be a process. I think if you've got tickets left that go down when you get down to... So I think we spoke about it with the West Brom game. If you've got tickets that get to a level of silver, that silver group should have priority to buy any tickets that are left before it goes to supporters groups that haven't done any away games. And that's regardless of location of where the game is. I think... Next season, if you announce it from the start, you say, right, every local game, there's going to be 50 tickets that are taken from... You take them from corporate or commercial, where, you know, you can allow for that. You're not punishing fans at that situation then. So, and say, we've got 50 tickets that will go to fans of a local supporters group. So for Huddersfield, it would be your North Yorkshire, South Yorkshire supporters groups. Give them 25 each. And if you've got it, if there's the clarity there of where the tickets are coming from, where they're going, then I don't think that people might mind, people might not agree with it. But I think people will accept it much more than the message that came out today. Don't mention anything. Don't mention anything, but we've got some tickets. That like cloak and daggers thing, that's going to piss people off. So transparency has to be transparent. People need to know where they stand. And midway through the season, it's just...
In the same respect, why the fuck are people screenshotting that and sending it and putting it out on social media and stuff like that?
That shouldn't be happening. I know you're saying people have screenshotted it and whatever. People are going to talk.
There's a lot of people in the wrong there.
Yeah. It just shouldn't be happening, in my opinion. If you're having to tell people not to talk about things, then it's not right. If something's going to piss people off, and you know it's going to piss people off, it shouldn't be happening. I hope that they learn lessons from it, and next season they take it forward. Because as a concept, everything that we're looking at as a club is not for the here and now. The stuff about the stadium isn't for where we are right now. It's for where we are in the future. And these things that they're doing, it's with a plan in mind that we're going to grow. The club is going to grow. Yeah. And when it does grow, and we grow into this supporters club, and we've got members in all around the world and this, that, the other, then it'll be great. But just clarity, I think.
That is it. Just in the summer, when the season's finished, no matter what league we're in, just tell us, or just communicate and say, there's going to be a communication shortly, I think there's got to be, but just say, this is how we're going to do it going forward, just so everybody knows. And you know, some people won't like it, some people will love it, some people won't care, but you just have to deal with that, don't you? And just say, this is how we're going to do it. As long as it's done in a fair, or as fair as possible, manner, then I think that'll be fine. I think people will accept that, and they'll soon forget about it, and
it'll just become the norm. Then it'll just become the norm. But anyway, yeah, on that point, cheers South Yorkshire Blues for the ticket for Saturday. Appreciate it.
Right, it wasn't something which came up in the 15 second opinions, but shall we quickly talk about Deion Sanderson?
I think it's worth touching on because it's news, isn't it? I thought that it would have been brought up, to be honest with you, because there were a lot of angry people on social media.
And rightly so, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
To a point.
So my personal opinion, and I said it on socials, I'm reserving judgment until the full story's out there. And I got a little bit of stick from some people. Like, what are you reserving judgment for? And my point is, it's not always as it seems. And I'm expecting it to be as it seems. I'm like everyone else. My first conclusion was, he's gone out on the piss. He's driven home. He's got caught. Indefensible. Like, absolutely no defence there. However, talking to her the other night, she went on the piss in Liverpool the once, had to sleep in the back of her car, and got told by a knock on the window that because she had her keys on her in the car, that she was in possession of a motor vehicle while she was drunk, and that she should put those keys in the boot to carry on sleeping in the car. That, to me, could happen. There are situations where you might have gone just, you might be just over the limit and had, not on the night, but you might have gone out in a taxi on the night. Yeah, the next morning, you might be slightly over the limit thinking, oh, I'm all right, I'm going to pop round to my mum's for Sunday lunch at midday, get pulled over.
That's actually the way the majority, I think, and I'm sure someone else can maybe back me up on that. I think that is where most drink driver, the most convictions you get for drink driving is normally the day after, not on the evening. Now, that was a few years ago.
I looked for the stats of that, and it said 20%, which isn't a majority, but it's... that was just off Google.
I know there was a point when I used to.
That was just off Google.
But don't you think also that there's the viewpoint, and again, this is just to kind of play devil's advocate on this, that isn't condoning that either, by the way. But just saying that people know that morning after is still a problem. So yeah. I'm not saying I get your point of arguing mitigation, Chris, but equally, everyone knows, don't they?
It's stupid to do it, and especially when you're in the situation where, like, when the Derby players did it a few years back, and we absolutely rinsed them. But I think if you're doing it in that situation where it's the morning after, I think there's an element of, he's been a bit silly, he's been a bit stupid doing that. It's not the same as going out, getting shit-faced and driving home. I think there are differences. And I'm not saying that either are forgivable, and you take a punishment, but one of them is a lot worse than the other. So, there are always situations that could happen. And until we know, and until it's done in court and everything else, I'm not going to turn around and say, get out of the club, like, shouldn't be anywhere near it. If Gary Rowett has turned around and said, right, I'm stripping you of the captain's armband, but you can still play, that to me says that there might be more to it. If there's not, then I think that's probably the wrong move, and he should have brought Mark Roberts in if he was fit.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll presume he'll lose his licence and we'll just get on with, not the rest of the season or into next season.
Let's not forget as well, the fan base that are giving him the stick that they are, and it's deserved, are the same fan base that loved Jermaine Pennant, who was on a tag when he played for us. Marlon King. Still sing a song
Lebo,
about him.
Yeah.
So it's...
Ricky Otto?
Yeah. Ricky Otto is probably less... smoking dope? Wasn't it? Yeah. Had a joint in his car or something? I think along those lines. I mean, let's sort of don't want to go off on a tangent. Absolutely, don't condone what he's done. There's obviously people in the fan base that have lost friends. There are people in the fan base that have had people injured by drink drivers. There's absolutely zero excuse. And as a lot of people said, and I've seen so many people mention it, someone that earns maybe £10,000-£15,000 a week, why stepping into a car at any point when he could afford an Uber, a limo,
a chauffeur, whatever
he wants. I don't understand. Yeah, you know, he's got all the opportunity to have a lift back any other way. There's bus services and tubes and all sorts, right? There is absolutely zero excuse. I've seen a few people say that he's been seen out quite a lot recently as well. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. It may well be. It might not be. There's a concern there that this actually might be a wider issue with Sanderson, that he's actually got a problem that needs to be tended to. Again, not condoning him stepping into his car, but maybe that's something else that they need to sit down and talk to him about. If it's down to an addiction or something along those lines, we just don't know. It's been a difficult time for some of these players, so it wouldn't. He's a human being, and people do get themselves into problems like that. We know historically, I think, Chris, I'm pretty sure I remembered us talking about seeing Duke, Kefdenbeld, Gleeson out on the piss. Was it Gleeson? Well, definitely Duke and Kefdenbeld out on the piss during the Steve Cotterill era, Saturday after a game, getting tanked and stuff like that. Players do go out drinking, and whether you can accept that or not is up to you, but they are normal people, and they do enjoy having a drink. So I'm not gonna have a moan about that. People might argue this end of the season, the situation we're in, that's a big issue. But you know, as long as they're turning up to training and stuff like that, and it's not affecting their performance, maybe it is. But
what?
Yeah, I think ultimately you can look at it like he, you know, deserves punishment and deserves rehabilitation from it. You know, it's not the end of.
And that's the thing. It's a very, very stupid mistake, isn't it? That
people make mistakes, and you know, people deserve to learn from those mistakes. So
also, don't forget like how young he is. So I know age shouldn't be an excuse, but he isn't. Like, I know he feels like he's been around for a while, but he's still pretty young. I'm not saying that's an excuse, by the way.
It's not an excuse, but it's, again, my only thing on it, and I wasn't excusing him to begin with. I'm not making excuses for him. If you drink drive, there's no excuse for it, and I stand by that. It's inexcusable, and that goes for, like Dave said, the morning after stuff. If you know, or you've got an idea of whether you're pissed from last night, and you still get into a car. So if it's that, that's just more stupid. But let's hear the full story of what's happened before we turn around and say, get out of our club. So a little look forward to Huddersfield at the weekend. And we've got Andy from the Matt Takes That. No. And we've got Matt from the Andy and He. Fucking hell. And we've got Matt from the And He Takes That Chance.
And He Takes His Chance
podcast.
Hi guys, it's Matt from the Huddersfield Town podcast, And He Takes That Chance here. And you've just asked me for a couple of words on Huddersfield Town's season so far and how it's gone. And let's be honest, it's been a big steaming, honking pile of crap. Let's just cut to the chase. We had the takeover in the summer. The takeover was protracted. It was held up a little bit. And because the previous owner threatened to take us into administration, the previous season that we were subject to FFI regulations, which meant that we couldn't actually spend any money or not a lot of it, which meant that the squad was threadbare. We got rid of absolutely loads of players. We made a mistake, really, in bringing Neil Warnock back in the summer for two reasons. One was that he had full control of transfers, which meant that we didn't really sign anyone decent because he's not great at that anymore and the people that he uses, but we'll say no more on that. And then the pre-season was pretty much just a jolly up in Cornwall and a couple of friendlies against some pub teams, and it's not really prepared as well for the season. We struggle really badly in terms of fitness, and pre-season is obviously where you do the bulk of that fitness work throughout the season to get your periodization right, etc. So ever since then, it's just been really poor. But the thing is, if you have Neil Warnock for those two bits, Neil Warnock gets a team ready for a Neil Warnock season, and the last thing you really want to do is sack him after six games or or ask him to move aside, shall we say. And then we made a really poor appointment in Darren Moore. It was obvious from the very first second it was the wrong option. Took us way too long to, or took the owner way too long. I think the fans realised after 5 minutes, but took the owner way too long to sort of come to the conclusion that it was incorrect. And then instead of going for a survival specialist, we've kind of gone for someone that we would have maybe liked to have seen in the summer in Andre Breitenreiter. It really should have been a more of a survival specialist to try and get us through to the end of the season instead of trying to go with a German manager who wants to play full throttle football, high pressing with a team that's just not fit enough to do so or talented enough. And we're in a big mess and we will be in League One next season. Okay, so a question where Birmingham need to watch out. So essentially, you just need to watch out whether we're bothered for the game or not. The last couple of games, the attitude, the body language from the squad has been incredibly poor. I don't think there's been a massive lack of effort in some respects, but like I say, the body language itself looks very much that of a beaten, depressed team. And if we turn up like we did against Swansea, against you guys, I don't think you've got much to worry about. If we do turn up, then all of our creativity, every single piece of creativity from us comes from Sauber Thomas delivering the ball into the box. If we play Delano Bergsorg up front again, then he's never in the box, so it renders that completely pointless. But I think the penny might have dropped and we may start with either Bojan Radulovic or Reece Healy up front. And so I guess that the danger for you guys would be Thomas putting the ball into the box for Healy or from set pieces. My thoughts on where Birmingham are dangerous. Well, your away form's not great, let's be honest. But I think if you want to win the game, then you'll win it. It's just that simple. I think if you're brave and you want to win and you come to win, then you'll win the game. We are that bereft at the moment. So it's up to you guys. I mean, Stansfield's got quite a good movement up front, but defensively, we're not too bad. Where we're absolutely terrible is in possession of the football. So really what you want to do to get into us is kind of like take the ball off as well. We're high up the pitch and counter us or allow us to have the ball and sit off us and we'll make mistakes. So whoever you've got in there who's good at pressing in midfield will definitely help. I mean, Janino Bakun is bound to come back and bite us at some point. So potentially him. But I think Stansfield's got quite nice movement. And if he keeps moving in and around the box, something will fall his way eventually. Prediction for the fixture. Okay, so I'm going to say 0-0. I just feel like this game is going to be incredibly nervous. I think both teams will go into it knowing that if they lose, then they're cooked pretty much. So I think nerves and fear will take over a lot of the game. And it just depends who's brave enough. And to be honest, from seeing bits of both teams over the season, neither sides are particularly that brave. So I imagine they'll both sort of retreat somewhat. But like I say, the game is there for anyone who wants to take it. It's just whoever steps up and is brave enough. And if someone does, then it'll probably be 1-0. And if we go 1-0 down, you can easily get 2-3 against us. But yeah, I think it's going to be a tight, nervy, horrible game of football. I hope you all enjoy it, but not too much.
So the big thing for me there, cheers, by the way, Matt from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Not Andy from the Matt Takes That Chance podcast. Saying whether we want, if we want it, and if we go and get it, then we'll probably win that game. I'm not sure that I've seen enough against Rotherham to think that we'll go there. The only saving grace for me is that they've got to come for it as well. They can't sit in. They've got to come and have a go at us. Or come and have a go. We've got to go there.
Well, they're in a worse position than us, yep, aren't they?
So that's the
parallels one. There are quite funny, aren't they? The takeover, yeah, and stuff that he was talking about in the summer when wanted a bit of some bright, fresh hope and, yeah, threats of administration with the previous owner.
It was all, yeah, completely mad. And then the thing with the managers as well and making a bad appointment and whatever else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now look at us, separated only just. Very, very, yeah, tight, very tight. It's, should we have a, I don't know what to say, because
for me, give you me need hope. Fill that team with energy again, don't you? You got to fill the team with energy again. The team, we don't want to see Ollie Burke in there. I'd be quite happy to see Miyoshi come back in and Bakuna potentially. Bakuna against his old club as well.
Well, he mentioned Bakuna. Dembele as well,
had an absolute Dembele had an absolute field day against them. It's dinner time. now they've got to do their homework. Hope Blues are doing their homework at the moment. Dembele had a field day against Huddersfield at home, didn't he? I think he scored two, could have had a hat trick. Was really, really good. I remember sitting there, I was coming over to England, wasn't I, that weekend. That was the following game was West Brom, because I was sitting watching that in the ferry port. I was waiting to board the ferry, talking to you guys. I remember
Did we record on that one? Or were we just chatting on that one?
No, that was a different time. I can't remember, but we recorded a different time in the ferry port. That was just on my phone. Live, I watched that on
live from
my
international
iPad.
Waters.
just on the edge of the Irish Sea. So I mean, he doesn't sound very positive, really, does he? I think Bakuna coming in for probably Roberts, and then Miyoshi in for Burke makes sense to me. Then just keep everything else the same.
You know what? He doesn't sound positive.
Maybe still try and keep Roberts.
He doesn't sound positive. But have you ever heard someone be so chirpy?
I think that might be like a Yorkshire thing, isn't it?
I'm not sure, really negative, but just proper chirpy.
I think the majority of the team is probably going to pick itself in terms of like the you want Paik and Sunjic as the two midfielders, and then I'm assuming Sanderson still plays alongside Bielik, and then the fullbacks keep the same. Stanciers in up top, and then it's just around who we decide to go with in that three behind him. I think it probably is time to bring Bakuna back in. I'd argue you could bring Dembele in. I know they're concerned about his work rate and stuff like that, but this might just be the game just to set him free and just go at them. But even then, he doesn't quite look like the same player he was before. When he doesn't look as confident when he's carrying the ball. The few cameos he's had,
he looked lively at Rotherham, but just that final sort of spark, the end product, just didn't seem to be there.
Which eluded everybody on Saturday. They got into fairly decent positions, but was just taking a cross and it hitting your own player in the face and
but
going out.
But we've forgotten about Rotherham now. We've moved on.
So we've moved on to another part of Yorkshire. So
come on then, predictions.
If we go out there and take the game to if they're going to come and take the game to us, I think that's probably going to expose them. They have to win. They can't sit in there and just try and just keep it tight. They have got to go out and attack. And to a certain extent, we have to do the same thing, but we're probably better set up to deal with that under Rowett, and we've got pace on the break that I think we could probably hurt them, and it could end up being a game similar to Coventry, in my opinion.
You get a goal and it gives you a few more chances as well.
Yeah. Now, obviously, last week when we were talking about Rotherham, I was sort of on the fence. The Steve Evans thing was kind of bothering me, and I thought we might sneak a 1-0, and we almost did. I feel a little bit more confident this week, and this isn't like homerism. I just quite fancy it. For some reason, I've always felt that we'd be okay in this game. And watching the highlights of them last week, they're just horrendous. They looked very, very nervous. And I think the nerves are obviously the situation in it are obviously getting to them. I think they're there for the taking.
Stick a score, right?
I'm going to say 2-0 Blues.
Vegan?
I was going for a draw, but I think Matthew's convinced me. I'm going 1-0 Blues.
Well, if Chewy's convinced you, then maybe you should convince me. I wasn't confident at all. But do you know what? For the last away game of the season, let's do it. 4-0. 4-0 Blues. Come on. Come on. Yeah, I'm not confident in that, but do you know what? I might stick a fiver on it. And we spark our relegation battle into life.
I just have a based on nothing but just a gut feeling that I just fancy it, and I don't. Going into Saturday, I didn't really fancy it that much. Today, I fancied the Coventry game as well. I don't know why I fancy.
I'll
that
take
one.
It, mate.
But let's
just see. I'll take the 4-0. Happily.
If we don't, then you know we can look forward to League One and start talking and making plans for that. Because it's not the end of the world, and it could be a bit of fun, despite the fact there'll be some initial short-term pain.
Right, thank you all for listening. Thank you guys for chatting. And safe travels to everyone who's going to Yorkshire again at the weekend. And safe journeys.
Especially all the OSCs.
Safe travels. And until next time, keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.